All right, welcome aboard, everybody. Glad to have you along this morning, and we really appreciate you joining us. And Steve Schmidt is joining us this morning, the Drive Safe Missoula coordinator. Welcome, sir. It's good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for letting me be here. I really appreciate it.
You bet. So tell us why you're here. What's going on?
Well, we have a new holiday program going on for Impaired Driving Awareness Month, which is throughout the month of December. It's called Let's Not Wreck the Holidays. And it's a sort of a collaborative ask of the community to try to reduce the number of impaired driving incidences that we have both locally within the city limits and throughout the entire county. Most of our DUI crashes occur on rural roads, I think primarily because of the lack of rideshare options that people have. So we're just looking to ask the community to look out for one another. Let's all join in this together. Let's not wreck the holidays. There's far too many empty dinner plates and empty chairs at holiday gatherings, family gatherings over the, you know, the holiday season. So we're just trying to make sure everybody can make it to where they are going safely.
Well, you can see how that can happen, by the way, because when you get together, it's jovial. You're celebrating. You know, you got the champagne, especially with New Year's Eve. I mean, or whether it's Christmas or whatever it might be, there's always a celebratory nature, and sometimes a little bit of bubbly or alcohol or whatever enhances the celebration, and so people maybe just go a little bit too far and think, I'm only a mile from home, that sort of thing, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the important aspects of being sure that you plan ahead before the evening begins. So you make sure that you have that sober driver lined up, whether it's you're planning to do an Uber or a Lyft ride home, or you're taking public transportation like our Mountain Lion. Bus schedules are out and about, so you can really plan ahead to make sure that you have that sober ride home, or even getting a designated driver, making sure somebody remains sober at the party so they make sure everybody gets home.
I was just looking at some of the things on your website about, for instance, one is the DUI task force. So if you wouldn't mind talking about that, and it's a shame that we have to have one, you know?
Right.
But it is necessary. And tell us what they do. And first of all, if you have a little bit of history of how that came about.
Sure. Well, Drive Safe Missoula is part of our Missoula Health Department, or our Missoula Public Health. We're part of the Health Promotions Division. Drive Safe Missoula is home to the DUI Task Force and also our Buckle Up Montana Coalition. So my main two jobs are to try to keep people driving sober, and the other half is wearing seatbelts, and I do a lot with child passenger safety, getting kids in car seats and things like that. The history of it, goes way back probably 30 years. Just a rock star superhero in our community, Lonnie Hutchinson.
Lonnie?
Yeah, she ran this program for nearly 30 years.
Is she still in Missoula?
She's just down south in the Bitterroot, but, wow. You know, now just enjoying retirement and doing great. But I stand on her shoulders as I continue to spread this message, just try to keep people driving safe and you know, hopefully making better choices.
So as we get together, obviously it's incumbent. There's a lot of in-home celebrations going on. Public house drinking is a little different story. But when it comes to the holidays, everybody's at somebody's house.
Right.
And so talk about being a good host. You want to be a good host. You want to be a jovial host, but you want to be a safe host.
Yeah, and I think it all begins again with that planning, making sure that you speak with your guests beforehand and say, hey, we want to make sure that you can make it here safely and that you can make it home safely. What are your plans for a sober ride? Have that discussion with your guests before they arrive so they can all work together and have that plan. Or the host sets up, hey, look, we're going to have one designated driver. Maybe we rent a bus or a car, and we can go out, give people rides home at the end of the evening. Additionally, employers, when they have holiday parties, I would love to see employers step up to make sure that all of their employees and their families get a safe ride home at the end of their holiday parties as well.
Well, I know, having been a part of radio for a long time, each radio station group has a little party, a little get-together. And,
yeah.
And I know that our employers here at Town Square Media are really, really on top of that. I mean, let's enjoy ourselves, but make sure at least one or two people are available to give people a ride home.
Yeah, and that's the whole concept of Let's Not Wreck the Holidays. It's that collaborative effort. We're all in this together. We all share the roads together. You depend on me being safe and sober on the roadway so you can make it home safely. And the reverse is true there. I depend on you being safe and sober and distraction-free on the roadways so I can make it home and my family can make it home as we travel around.
We're going to come right back. Phone lines are open, by the way, if you have a question for Steve Schmidt, Drive Safe Missoula Coordinator for all of Missoula County. Give us a call. Maybe you have a story you'd like to share about how, your life got saved by, someone who was being the designated driver. I mean, you had too much to drink. Hey, this is great. There's nothing wrong with admitting that, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're doing the brave, smart thing by saying, you know what? I am not ready to do this. So,
right, yeah. Right.
We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Once again, our guest here in the studio, Steve Schmidt, the coordinator for Drive Safe Missoula. We're going to get Emmett on the line, and we have several other phone lines open when we come back after this. We always have interesting conversations during the commercial breaks, and Nick, of course, is our crime reporter, and you have quite literally your finger on the pulse of what's going on a daily basis, Nick, and you and Steve were having a conversation during the break.
Yeah, I was just asking Steve what his thoughts were on the current punishments for DUI, because as we know, it's not a felony offense until you have that fourth or subsequent arrest, and the first three are misdemeanor offenses, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, but just because someone's been caught three or four times, that's just the times they've been caught. That doesn't mean that you can count the number of times maybe they've driven drunk and not been caught. And so I was just asking Steve what his thoughts were on the punishment, and if the punishment were more severe, maybe it would be more of a deterrent, or just, yeah, things like that.
In thinking about that on a little bit deeper level, we talked a little bit about how there's an addiction, an underlying addiction that's oftentimes the result, or the DUIs are the result of that underlying addiction. As time goes on, people aren't so much concerned about that punishment aspect of things because they're dealing with that addiction. Some of the things I really like that I'm seeing now more in our community, for example, Judge Holloway has her DUI road court that's going on, and there's a lot of accountability. There's a lot of treatment. There's a lot of work that the individuals in our road court system are working to battle that underlying addiction so they can reduce the overall recidivism rates in our community and ultimately lower that. Now, for first-time offenders, do I think the punishment might need to be a little bit more severe? Possibly. Where do we go from that? Possibly looking at other countries and seeing what they're doing. How do they have such lower rates of DUIs and DUI fatalities on their roadways? Maybe we need to explore that a little bit more.
You bet. Let's get Emma.
Randomly just asked about this. He wanted to know, has Drive Safe Missoula sponsored any legislation for stiffer DUI penalties? Because he even wrote here, he says, it seems ridiculous that people can get their seventh DUI charge, as reported in one of our recent articles on KGVO.
Yeah, we work really closely with the Montana Department of Transportation, but unfortunately, being part of a government agency, I'm not allowed to lobby or anything like that. So typically, we have to look for individuals that are part of our community to help bring that information up, and then working with other organizations specifically that are really connected with the Montana Department of Transportation to bring those things forward.
Okay, let's get Emmett on the line. Emmett, thanks for holding. You're on with Steve Schmidt. Go ahead, please.
Well, thanks for taking my call, and I think you're doing great work. I was almost murdered by a drunk driver. I think he was trying to kill me deliberately. I've told this story before, and it went to court, and, he got on probation. It was his third DUI. It was unbelievable. It's a long story. But dovetailing on that, this is something I've wondered. Why cannot, with the expense that people, the government and everything, has to pay with drunk drivers and accidents and fatalities, why cannot we make it a law? Normally I'm not for laws, but why cannot we make it a law that every new and used car has a built-in breathalyzer? that you must start. If you're drunk, you cannot drive because the car will not start. You have to blow, and if it's DUI, if it's whatever the legal limit is, your car will not start. And I think that should be absolutely mandatory because it would save a lot of lives, and the cost savings would pay for the program in and of itself. I don't know if you're the one to talk to about that, but do you really think we should address this, and how could we implement this? And again, I think it's great what you're doing. I completely agree. I like to drink myself. I don't drive, learning disabilities. But I agree. If you're at a party, you should be able to put a lampshade on the side of your head and dance around and have a sober ride home and have a fun time putting the hat on the side of your head. Then I do that kind of thing if I'm stone cold sober anyway. But all right. What do you think?
Emmett, thanks for the call.
Yeah,
all
thanks,
right.
Emmett.
We're done now.
Yeah. And Emmett, I think I recognize your voice and remember watching some of your shows on MCAT long ago. So thanks for calling, Emmett. I really appreciate it. Yes, they're actually, I think technology is going to be the ultimate answer to this. There is legislation that's been going through the system on a national level to incorporate that passive alcohol testing built into vehicles. Now, I just read an article the other day that might have hit a speed bump and they might be trying to reverse that. But ultimately, I believe that's truly going to be the answer, is that passive alcohol technology, or even getting to the point to where self-driving cars are going to come into play, where the driver were the weakest part of the entire system, especially into the future when all vehicles will be talking to one another. That will ultimately be the answer that will work me out of a job, and I'll be happy to not be here anymore.
Happily retire, right?
100%. If we could just reduce the number of fatalities, that'd be great. But Emmett, you're spot on. That technology is in the works, and I also work with a company based out of Seattle, genius guy named Forrest with Think Twice. And they produce some single breathalyzer straws that are actually in several bars around Missoula.
Wow.
Where somebody could, you know, have a few drinks. The server can come up and say, hey, you know, we love you as a customer. We want to make sure you make it home safely. You know, we have this little individual single-use breathalyzer that's $3. Just it's better to know before you go. And they can provide them that opportunity. And Think Twice also markets and sells individual breathalyzers that people can purchase and keep in their pocket.
Wow.
That they could utilize for themselves or their friends. Of course, the technology, some of it's a little bit iffy out there, so we want to make sure people are getting high-quality technology that can be calibrated, that is essentially like the law enforcement portable breath testers that they carry, but in a smaller version, just to get people educated about what blood alcohol or breath alcohol content really means. Because unfortunately, most people figure that out when a law enforcement officer is helping them for the first time, and then it's too late.
That was going to be my question, and thankfully you had a chance to visit with Emmett about that. But the responsibility of the serving organization, whether it's a bar or a tavern or a restaurant or whatever it might be, because restaurants, you know, serve drinks with dinner, all that. Sometimes they're really, really busy. There's a lot of people there. Are they required to keep track of the amount people drink, or is that up to the responsibility of the individual?
Yeah, that's a great question. Servers are actually responsible for making sure that there is no over service. In fact, every server, whether it's in a bar, a restaurant, a convenience store, if you sell alcohol in the state of Montana, you have to go through what's called Responsible Alcohol Sales and Service Training, which is a program that's put on by the Department of Revenue, and the Alcohol, Beverage, and Control Division has the best acronym in the entire state, ABCD. Kent Habb is the one who runs that program through the state. And we teach servers how to recognize when somebody is actually, obviously, or apparently impaired, that they are required by law to stop serving that individual to help reduce the intoxication that's in our community. Also, they really focus on making sure that we don't have any sales to underage individuals in that course as well. And they're required to take that course within 60 days of being hired, and then once again every 3 years.
With that, we're up against a break. 721-1290 is our number. If you have a question or comment for Steve Schmidt, lots to talk about with Drive Safe Missoula. We're kind of concentrating on this because the holidays are...
Yeah, 100%.
Are here. But there's lots of other things you guys do. So anyway, we would love to have your phone calls at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We're coming right back after this. I realize there's a lot more to Drive Safe Missoula than driving while intoxicated, but it is a huge topic at this time of year. We were just talking during the break. Nick, if you wouldn't mind bringing up what you were saying to Steve.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a hard time even formulating a question, but we were just talking about the idea of a BAC, right? Your blood alcohol concentration and providing a breath sample and the legal limit being, 0.08. And, I'll write some stories about people being 3-4 times above the legal limit. And just obviously tolerance is different for everybody. But, just I guess what you guys have learned really focusing on that, that data and those numbers and just kind of really hashing all that out, basically.
Yeah, I think it boils down to that underlying aspect of addiction once again and that tolerance level. I mentioned during the break that I lost my sister to alcoholism, where she essentially drank herself to death, unfortunately. And she was always intoxicated, even though she was a high-powered, well into the six figures lawyer. You'd think she's super successful, has everything going for her. And she just was not under control in any way, shape, or form. It was the alcohol. It was the addiction that was under control. That guided all of her choices, all of her, just about everything. And she was always impaired from morning to night. And it was really sad to see. Yet if you spoke with her on an individual level, she was super smart. Obviously, being a high-powered lawyer, she was very articulate. You couldn't bring this topic up to her because she would win that argument in a second, right? As a master, with that debate skills that she had, it was amazing. So to see those high levels of alcohol concentration in test results from people around the state, it's crazy to see that. And I think it boils down to the fact that we are not taught at an early age how to drink in this country. It's usually, I remember in my high school days, they wanted to prove how much in control they really were. And it was about getting as drunk as fast as they could and drinking as much as they can. And there's always that, I can handle my liquor. I can hold more, and I can drink you under the table type of thing. And we're taught about that binge drinking. And that's how we think we're supposed to drink in this country, as opposed to looking at it like an art or a skill. There are amazing businesses out there that create really art in a glass, whether it's breweries or wineries or distilleries, that are absolutely fabulous. And I say this being a non-drinker. I've never drank in my entire life, but I've been fascinated with that industry on how they've been able to influence people over the decades that they've been around. So yeah, I would like to see a little bit more work on that education, especially starting out at an early age.
All right. Well, yeah, there has to be a way. Now Christmas parties are coming up, right?
Right.
In December here, pretty quick, we're going to have Christmas parties all over the place, company Christmas parties, school Christmas parties, whatever it might be. And if there are adults there, there's going to be alcohol there.
Right, right.
And so tell us, if you don't mind, just take a minute or so to talk about when you walk into that party and people, we have about 25,000 people listening to each of these shows every day, right? So if you had a message to them, you're going into the party, you brought a present, you're ready to go, you're ready to celebrate, we had a great year, blah, blah, blah. So what should be at the back of our minds when it comes to alcohol?
I would say look around to the little ones that are around at that party. When it comes to raising children, one of my favorite sayings is more stuff is caught than taught. They are going to pick up on your behaviors. your habits. They're going to do the things that you do. And they're not going to listen to you when they grow older and you go, you know, do as I say, not as I do type of thing. They're going to do as you do. And to set the example now for future generations on what responsible consumption of alcohol or even other substances like marijuana, for example, that's legal. You know, combining the two could be dangerous. To maybe start those conversations early with a child on what responsible consumption of substances that cause impairment mean and how you're going to plan ahead, take those steps to make sure that you're going to have a sober ride home for you and your entire family at these different get-togethers. The kids are going to catch up on or you know pick up on that, and then they're going to learn in the future that that's how they're supposed to do things. And there is no other way to do it than this is the way we've always done it. Because they're going to pick up on that regardless of whether it's the right way to do it or the wrong way to do it. So let's collectively work together. Let's not wreck the holidays. Let's teach our kids and show them the right way.
And with that, we're up against another break, and we'll shift to something. We'll talk to us about seatbelts.
Okay. Excellent. Sounds great.
When we come back. You bet. And people are getting a little nervous. They're talking about me again. All right, 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. We'd love to have your calls or comments or questions for Steve Schmidt, who is here with us, the coordinator of Drive Safe Missoula. We're going to come right back with more right after this. All right, we're back on Talk Back. I'm Peter Christian Christensen over there. We're talking with Steve Schmidt, Drive Safe Missoula coordinator. And before we get into the seatbelt deal, you just brought up something. The technology is going a long way into helping mitigate what possible things could happen before somebody even gets behind the wheel.
Yeah, correct. In fact, that Think Twice organization that I work with, sort of have some connections here with Montana, but they're based out of Seattle right now. They have a device for employers, say a big construction company or a company that has a lot of drivers that are going to be heading out on the road. They have a device that's similar in shape, a little bit bigger than a computer mouse, where as the employees come to work, they can put their hands on this and it could sense through the oils in your fingertips whether you have any alcohol on board and whether you're okay and safe to drive. And the thing is, employees love this because oftentimes our lives are in each other's hands, especially when it's a big construction company or whatever the case may be. And, a DUI fatality crash in a company vehicle can cost an organization millions and millions of dollars working through that process. So to make sure that all the drivers are safe when they get to work, what a great piece of technology. I absolutely love it.
You bet. So, and that is continuing. And as you had mentioned, self-driving cars eventually will become safer and more popular.
That's correct. Yeah. Specifically with that built-in technology to detect alcohol, even from the driver's seat. So all the other passengers of the vehicle could be highly intoxicated, but it can sense whether that driver is impaired or not.
You bet. All right. So let's pardon the pun, shift gears a little
bit. You betcha.
And talk about seatbelts. Now seatbelts have been around. I remember, I watch a lot of old movies, right?
Yeah.
And the 30s and 40s, and there's never a seatbelt in sight, and people get into a crash and they go, oops,
Exactly.
You don't see them flying out of the vehicle or through the windshield or whatever, because the laws of physics haven't changed since the invention of the automobile until now.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's pretty much the 70s and 80s when the big seatbelt push began. And we heard a lot of the same arguments back then that we did, for example, during the COVID pandemic with masking. It's about, taking freedoms away and all sorts of different things.
How dare you tell me what to do?
Right. And, and I really try to focus on not telling anybody what to do in any way, shape, or form. But I like to give people as much information as I possibly can because people are smart and they can make those educated decisions for themselves. With seatbelts, it's really interesting. When I first started this job, I took over for Lonnie Hutchinson. There was a form that I saw where they did a local seatbelt survey here in Missoula, and there were, I believe it was 33% of Missoulians were wearing seatbelts. This was in 1984.
Wow.
And 33% generated a hand-drawn smiley face on this form. We're now at about 90 3 to 95% right now in Missoula. And I check 11 different intersections once a year where I'm standing out there with a clipboard watching people drive by, and I'm marking them down. Now, pickup drivers are a little bit less. They're at about 89% seatbelt usage rate, and I'm not 100% sure why, but we would like to see that bump up a little bit.
How do we do that? Well, I'm sorry, Nick.
I was just going to say, I mean, how much of that do you think is the newer cars where if you don't click your seatbelt and it's beeping and yelling at you within 2 seconds and blah, blah, blah. But some of those older cars, I mean, you just don't have to click your seatbelt. It won't say anything. But how much of that comes into play?
Yeah, I think, I think it's that answer to technology is the solution to our problems. You know, that caused a big thing. Also, you know, most of the drivers that are out there now grew up watching, you know, the crash test dummies, you know, Vic and Al, I don't remember their names exactly, but we watched those commercials and we could learn a lot from a dummy, you know, back in the 80s and 90s as they're, you know, flying through the windshields. So, and I think finally it was our parents that finally started to get that message and to demonstrate how we're supposed to do things. And we caught on to that. So I think this generation that's driving now behind the wheel, well, they just don't know any better. I mean, this is all we've ever done. We've always done it this way. We always wear our seatbelts. So that's really, really nice. And again, it's that fact that I don't like to tell anybody what to do. They've actually done studies, a group out of Bozeman called the Center for Health and Safety Culture. They did a research study on traffic safety messages, and messages like the click it or ticket, drive sober, get pulled over, you text, you drive, you pay. Those cause what is called psychological reactants, where people are like, don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do.
Right.
Watch me. And so I'm really trying to work with local agencies, agencies around the state, and even across the country on how we can adjust our messages a little bit. So maybe we're asking a few more questions than making all these statements and telling people what to do, if that makes sense.
I will tell you that one of the most effective things I saw was at the Western Montana Fair. When the Highway Patrol, I think it was the Sheriff Department or whatever, and they had this little car on a little sled, and they took up about 8 feet, right? And they let it go down, and boom, it hit, and you were going like 4 miles an hour,
right?
And they made you put the seatbelt on, and because if you didn't, you would have gone flying right over the top of it. And that to me was visually and perceptively huge. Because, you know, when it happens to you when you're driving, sometimes you can get knocked out or killed or whatever, and you don't really realize it until after it's happened, and then it's too late.
Well, then that's correct, and that's appropriately called the convincer, is that device. And, you know, even me growing up, I never wore a seatbelt when I was a child. I didn't know any better. I wasn't taught to wear a seatbelt. And the thing that convinced me was when I was in the police academy in Kansas City, Missouri, and we were going through our high-speed driving course. And this was back in the early 90s. The police cars had these, you know, vinyl, very smooth, slick bench seats that went all the way across the front. And they had us do the slalom course in the police car. And the first left turn I made without the seatbelt on, I slid all the way to the passenger side of the vehicle. And they said, all right, let's get back in line. And, of course, I wasn't able to complete the course in any way, shape, or form because I was completely out of control. And it wasn't the car out of control. It was me, the driver, out of control. And when they told me, they're like, you see, the seatbelt is actually a tool that can help you drive this car better. You're a really good driver, because we all are, right? We're all excellent drivers. But you're a really good driver. And if you utilize this tool and take advantage of what it can offer you, you can control this car better and you can be a better driver. I mean, there's not a race car driver in the world that doesn't wear their seatbelt, right? They wouldn't even be allowed out there on the track if that was the case. So putting that seatbelt on, I was able to stay behind the main controls of the car, the steering wheel, the gas pedal, the brake, and I was able to complete that course safely. And so it was that concept of, hey, I can use this to be in control, which I want to be in control at all times. I became a much better driver, and it made sense to me. And I'm like, why didn't they tell us this in driver's ed? Like, that would have been, you know, it was all just, you know, oh, you'll die if you don't wear a seatbelt. And just like everybody else, well, that's not going to happen to me, right? But once it came to that concept of I'm in better control, you know, when I'm going to be wearing my seatbelt.
And I will tell you that I've watched a lot of NASCAR and some of the Indy 500s and that sort of thing. And those guys are practically melted into their seats with every sort of protection you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
And when there is an accident and the vehicles are flying all over the place, and they go and rescue these guys, they pop them out, and they come out, and they're shaken up. But they're okay.
That's correct. In fact, you know, I was just on stage with NASCAR driver Ross Chastain in Georgia earlier this year, and they have a whole campaign called Protect Your Melon, and because he's a watermelon farmer, and so I think it's really great that he brings his family business into his NASCAR driving. But it's about, you know, making sure that we're utilizing those devices to protect ourselves. But I think once people understand that concept of control. And because we all want that sense of control in our lives, even as far as putting substances into our bodies, once we realize that we are relinquishing control to alcohol or marijuana or even alcohol prescription drugs, alcohol over-the-counter drugs, whatever the case may be, if there's that mixture there, we're relinquishing control. And are you really comfortable with that?
And don't drive mad either.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
We're going to come right back. We have an app question, and Emmett is going to be visiting with us. We'll be right back with more of this talk, more of Talk Back right after this. Hey, welcome back to Talk Back. Peter Christian here. Of course, Nick Christensen taking your phone calls and producing Talk Back this morning. Steve Schmidt's here. Schmidt is here in the studio. He is the coordinator for Drive Safe Missoula. Real quick, before we get to Emmett's call, we're on the road, we're driving, we're on the way to work, way to home, whatever, and we know that someone in front of us is swerving, their head is nodding, all that sort of thing. We realize that person could cause an accident. What do we do?
Yeah, I would say call 911 right away as fast as possible. Make sure that people are aware that we have a dangerous driver on the roadways and that we can get somebody there to get them pulled over and off the roadways as fast as possible. Unfortunately, we've recently had a crash where somebody was on the phone with law enforcement and was following an individual, and they ended up crossing the center line, and you know, it turned into a double fatality crash. And we don't like to see that. You know, of course, we have, you know, a lot of long distances. It might take a while for law enforcement to, you know, get there, or if they're already tied up on a call, they might not be available. But let's do our part. That's part of the whole "Let's Not Wreck the Holidays" is that collaborative effort.
Should we continue following them just to or not?
As long as you're not putting yourself in danger,
right.
I would say then, yeah, fine. As long as you can still maintain control of your vehicle safely, you're not putting yourself in danger by distracted driving, you know, on the phone. You know, especially if you're hands-free or something like that,
right.
You can maintain that safe distance so you don't become a volunteer victim in this type of situation. Then I would say okay. Obviously, your safety is paramount as well. So I wouldn't take matters into your own hands in any way, shape, or form, but definitely call law enforcement.
All right. Emmett, you want to do the app question?
Yeah, app question.
Yeah.
Katie said, it seems there's been a significant increase in drivers in Missoula being caught ingesting meth and fentanyl and driving. Does your organization address that at all?
Yeah, we do. In fact, that's why we pretty much call it impaired driving and not so much just drunk driving, because impairments can come from a variety of different things. And that polysubstance use is something that the state is really has their eye on. Also, all our drug recognition examiners, or our DREs, which are the officers that are trained to do like the field sobriety test at another level to determine somebody's level of impairment that might be caused by meth or fentanyl or, you know, anything from, you know, alcohol and gabapentin could be in there.
Marijuana,
right? Yeah. You know, all of those different things. So some of the reasons why you see that increase is because we are training our officers at a higher level and they're able to detect these things more often. And then getting blood samples taken, the crime lab now has better equipment to also test those for those different substances as well. So that's part of the reason why we're seeing the increase.
You bet. Let's get Emmett on the line. Emmett, you're back. Go ahead. You're on with Steve Schmidt. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call again. Well, you know, what I do miss, though, also is taxi cabs. They have helped me a lot, especially with, I don't drive, but, you know, a couple of times when I was at Sean Kelly's for St. Patrick's Day, they had live bands. This is when they had live bands. Wonderful party atmosphere like you're talking about. But I realized I needed a safe ride home because I just didn't want to walk home. So I got what was called a home free. And I asked the bartender, could I get a home free with a taxi cab? And they said, absolutely. I thought that was wonderful. And I really miss taxi cabs. I think they cut down on a lot of drunk driving. But I'm excited about this thing called, what you mentioned, driverless cars. Not driverless cars, self-driving cars, whatever you call it.
Yep.
Because I have learning disabilities. I've tried to take driver's ed in high school. And I was withdrawn because I drove so badly. I've got a lot of stories to tell you, but we don't have time. But I would love to get into a car, have it drive itself to whatever destination, the store or church, park safely, stop safely, where I'm not even having to drive, or I could go to a nice, fine restaurant, Chow Mambo, have a few drinks, have the wonderful food, and the car can drive itself. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful? I'll never have the money for such a thing, but I really think we need a lot more self-driving cars, whatever, that can stop safely, drive, you know, slow down safely. That would be a boon. So is there any way we can get a taxi cab back, or what can we do about driverless cars and make them more affordable for people like me?
All right, Emmett, thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's a great question, Emmett. And I think with the introduction of rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft, and to have more vehicles out there available, I think more people started utilizing those, which basically, I'm not 100% sure on this stuff, but I think it pushed some of the taxi cabs out of the market, just because people would oftentimes have to wait for a very extended period of time. And that Home Safe program that Emmett was talking about there, that ultimately dissolved because people were not taking advantage of it.
Wow.
And it was establishments around the area who contributed funds into this Home Safe program to make sure people got home safe. But once Uber and Lyft came to town, people started utilizing those services a little bit more because they could easily do it right there on their phone without having to wait extended, you know, sometimes 45 minutes for a cab. But then we also have our local bus system, too. Mountain Lion is phenomenal as far as getting people around.
And it's free.
And it's free.
You bet. Hey, we're up against a break. It's a 60-second timeout. So, Larry, if you'll hang on, we'll get your call in with Steve Schmidt. By the way, phone lines are still open. Only about 8 minutes left if you want to get. We haven't even talked about baby car seats yet.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
So we're going to come right back with more of Talk Back right after this. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along. I'm Peter Christian, Dick Christensen, producing Talk Back this morning, taking your phone calls. Our guest in the studio, Steve Schmidt, coordinator of Drive Safe Missoula, and Larry is on the line. Larry, good morning. You're on with Steve. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'd like to play devil's advocate for a second here, and I've been thinking about this a little bit, and I think there's, in every state, there's probably a threshold number of people that don't take the driver's ed, people that are from out of state, people that are high on whatever. And I think that you're never going to drop far below that number. And I wonder if there's any research that's looked into that situation. And how would you respond to that theory?
Are we talking the seatbelts or the DUIs?
We have a certain number of fatalities in Montana, and there's a certain number there, and I don't know what that is, but it's probably not going to drop below that number because of all the factors that go into the cause of wrecks.
But yeah, didn't the Highway Patrol have that Project Zero?
Yeah, we do have what's called Vision Zero here in Montana, which is a goal to get to zero serious injuries and zero deaths on our roadway. Again, I truly believe technology is going to be the ultimate answer. When my car is talking to your car and you're 3 miles down the road and your car recognizes the fact that there's a deer on the road or that there's black ice on the road and your car can send a signal to my car 3 miles back to say, hey, you need to slow down and go around this curve slowly. I could be, you know, sitting there reading in a book in the driver's seat, and the car can navigate that situation better than I could. That's ultimately going to be the thing. I mean, right now in Montana, we're at 173 fatalities on our roadways. Out of that 173, 93, or over 52%, are impaired driving, and 71 of that 173 are due to improper restraints. So right now, if we could get people to, one, drive sober, and two, to always wear our seatbelts, that number would dramatically decrease. I mean, imagine if just wearing your seatbelt, you were able to control your vehicle at a much higher level. If you were to exit the roadway on a curve or a lane departure sort of thing, but you were able to maintain control of your vehicle and use your awesome driving skills to get back up on the roadway because you were in control, as opposed to getting bounced out of the driver's seat, not being able to hit the brake, not being able to adequately steer, and then you ultimately hit the tree that kills you. If you can maintain control of that vehicle, I would say use your seatbelt and show us your cool driving skills.
Yeah, I think those are good points. I think the problem with technology is that, as Emmett was talking about, he can't afford the fancy car, and I've got one that tells me when I'm veering from a lane change,
right.
And I usually disable that because I'm trying to for inconsequential things. It is always beeping at me, and that is a strong resistance to those kind of self-driving things. But I think that the more of those things you have, the more complacent you get as a driver. And I grew up and helped my dad install seat belts in our garage, drilling holes through the bottom of the frame and
excellent
bolts and all this kind of stuff back in the 50s. And so so it's one of those things that technology is great, but I don't know whether it's going to be a long time before we get to that point. But
Yeah. We're working on it. You know, I often say that, there's nothing wrong with a horse, but nobody rode a horse to work today. Right. I don't see any of them hitched out front here. So,
yep. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for the call. Okay, so we have about 4 minutes left to cover some of the topics we haven't talked about yet, car seats.
Let's talk about car seats. One of the reasons why I really focus on car seats, we find that anywhere from 80 to 90% of car seats are not installed correctly. It's a difficult and very complicated system because you have hundreds of car seats and you have hundreds of different types of cars out there. So we request that parents get their car seats checked. We have a fitting station with Missoula Rural Fire Department on the second Saturday of every month from 10 to 2 p.m. Where people can call in, schedule an appointment, stop in there, get their car seat checked by a certified car seat technician. My son being one of those, who's a firefighter paramedic with Missoula Rural. It's awesome to get to work with him on this project. But you can get your car seat checked, learn some important aspects about occupant protection and passenger safety, and drive away knowing that your child, your precious cargo, is safer.
I have been there at Missoula Rural. They invited me over one time just to cover, take some photos and talk with some of the people if they were willing to talk, right?
Yeah.
About getting this new car seat in. Most of them are brand new parents. I mean, this is our first child. We want to do everything we can. And so grandma and grandpa have purchased the car seat, and they come to the fire department, and they may have tried to install it themselves. And as you'd mentioned, it can be a little complicated to make sure it's done right.
And
many times, you did a really nice job here, but there's some things you left out. And they were so kind and so, thoughtful about, protecting the self-esteem of the new mom or dad, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me show you a few tricks here, that kind of thing.
Those little tips and tricks are key. And we live in a day and age where we don't like to read owner's manuals anymore. And, we usually typically start with that. But oftentimes, even, after, 4 or 5 years working in this and working with car seats, I still got to pull out the owner's manual and read the owner's manual because it's a new seat or it's a different car that I've never worked with and I'm trying to get this to fit. And sometimes it starts with that, but there's nothing like getting that hands-on individual training. It takes about 30 to 40 minutes to make sure your child is as safe as possible. I think that's a great investment in time, don't you?
All right. Now let's talk. We have about a minute left in our time with you. Let's go over again. We've got holiday parties coming up, so talk to us about that, please.
Yeah, so you can visit DriveSafeMissoula.com. I have DriveSafeMissoula.com/holiday, or there's a link right on the main page where if you are a business owner, you are a family member, you can help spread this word around our community to let's not wreck the holidays. I have social media posts that you can just click and share. I have letters that you can print out, put your name, your organization's logo on there. and send this out to your employees to let them know that you really care, that they can make it home safely, and that you can help them with those safe choices by planning ahead, making sure that we're 100% sober, that we're always buckled up, we're doing our best to drive distraction free, and we can make it home safely.
And for employers out there, make sure you're doing everything humanly possible, because you care about your employees and their families, to get all this done.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's look out for one another.
You bet. Steve, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You as well. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. So, Mr. Nick, what's coming up on tomorrow's fabulous radio program, sir?
It'll be the Montana World Affairs Council with Bob Seidenschwartz and a special guest. He'll be here the whole time, 8 to 10.
Excellent. So two full hours of the Montana World Affairs Council on the radio, and it's always a fun deal. And again, thank you to Steve for stopping by today. We appreciate it. And for open phones, by the way, thank you for schooling me a little bit on those property tax numbers, because boy did I get it wrong, and I'm so glad. I'm going to go back and recheck my numbers here, because it was a sleepless night for the kid here after I was trying to figure out all that. No, that can't be true. Anyway, thanks for all of you guys to setting me straight. We appreciate it, and get out there and enjoy this beautiful day. Someday we're going to have some snow. Who knows? But anyway, get out there and enjoy it. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 with Ace on Montana Morning.